Blog Talk Radio.
And that was Morris Mills, Round and Round. But today is the day. Thank you so much for joining us. Matters of the Heart, Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. If you are the age 18 of age and older, meaning for mature audience, this show is for you. And especially if you want to learn more about the big O. And I'm talking about orgasms. If you want to know more about orgasms, the fake or not the fake, then you're at the right place at the right time this morning if you're in the U.S. And shout out to the worldwide listeners also, those of you are everywhere, U.K., Australia, the islands, Asia, just everywhere. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. But today's the day, and guess what? My longtime Facebook pal, intimacy advisor Belinda Bostic of Houston, Texas, and of Slumber Parties by Belinda Bostic.com is with us again for the third time within a month. This is just amazing. I love her, don't you? And also Cousin Linda, author and worldwide traveler, my cousin that I love so much, is online also. So I'm not sure if she's going to make a comment or ask Belinda a question on air or not. But you know Cousin Linda, she might. And thank you so much for those of you that joined Cousin Linda and I yesterday as we discussed U.S. and international travel. And be sure to check us out next week also when we talk about more traveling tips. Again, I want to thank Olivia Wilder, a fellow blogtalkradio.com host, for presenting such an amazing show last night. If you missed her show, her broadcast last night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, definitely visit Olivia Wilder at blogtalkradio.com. And especially if you love Bravo TV programming like I do, million-dollar listing shows, million-dollar listing premieres tonight. And last night, her guest was Josh Altman, and it was an amazing interview. And so check it out if you missed it. But tonight is tonight. Tonight is the night that Kendra on Top premieres also on Lee TV. But this today's show is about the big O, so without any more rambling and talking about other stuff, let's get started. And be sure to call 714-409-0614 and also ask questions via the chat room also, because I'm entering the chat room right now. But I want to share something, because some of you might say, exactly, I'm faking orgasms. Last week was part one. Today is part two of the discussion. And throughout my research, I was shocked to find out that a lot of guys fake orgasms also. But looking at Wikipedia, fake orgasms. Faking orgasms refers to the act of pretending to have an orgasm without actually experiencing one. It usually means simulating or acting out behaviors such as body movements, vocal sounds, and sequences of apparent intensification followed by apparent release, typically associated with orgasm. It can also include giving verbal indications that orgasms have occurred. And there are different reasons that people fake orgasms, which we talked about last week. And also in the Wikipedia, it states that faking an orgasm and gender. Contrary to popular belief, women aren't the only gender to fake orgasms. In web surveys, 37% to 50% women and 31% to 40% of men admitted they had faked orgasm at least once. A random sample telephone poll of 1,501 Americans has shown that 48% of women and 11% of men faked orgasms. Faking orgasms in men becomes easier while using condoms, since the ejaculation usually accompanies orgasm in males. I haven't began sipping my tea. I have my bottle of water right next to me. A reason for faking orgasms: number one is to please the partner, to hurry up and get it done. Number two, to not hurt partner's feelings. Then was tired, sex was not satisfying, boredom, not in the mood, too young, inexperienced, just wanted to, sick on medication, then other, and then no opinion. That is what they received from that, based on a survey based from 2004 called the American Sex Survey Poll. And also it states that orgasm is not always achieved easily during sexual activity. In both sexes, the condition of being unable to orgasm during sex is called anorgasmia. It can be caused by a variety of factors, including factors in one's life such as stress, anxiety, depression, or fatigue, as well as factors related to the sex itself, including worry, guilt, fear of painful intercourse, fear of pregnancy, the undesirability of a partner, and the undesirability of a setting. It can also be caused by drug use, including alcohol and other drugs, or side effects from prescription drugs. People can fake orgasms for a number of reasons, such as when their partner wants them to orgasm, but they are unable, or when they desire to stop having sex but not comfortable telling their partner directly, avoiding negative consequences, or for pleasing their partner. Women that fake orgasm was recommended by the Oh, this is a poem. I don't know if I should go into reading this poem, but by Roman poet Ovid in his famous book, Ars Amatori. Okay, I can't, it's not long. So then, my dear ones, feel the pleasure in the very marrow of your bones. Share it fairly with your lover. Say pleasant, naughty things the while. And if nature has withheld from you the sensation of pleasure, then teach your lips to lie and say you feel it all. Unhappy is the woman who feels no answering thrill. But if you have to pretend, don't betray yourself. And my screen just disappeared on me. So I'll continue it before the show is over, if I can. If not, I will post this poem. And you can check out Wikipedia also to see it for yourself. But my screen on my MyTouch Android just blinked off. So without further ado, we're going to talk with Belinda Bostic of Slumber Parties by BelindaBostic.com. And also maybe Cousin Linda, and you all also call 714-409-0614 and also chat with us in the chat room. Okay? So we're just going to go at it, and Belinda also has a new project also to talk about. Here's Belinda. Hi, Belinda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How have you been?
Busy.
I know you have. Like I mentioned to you earlier, I received your newsletter yesterday, and it's just amazing. Before we really get into talking about the Big O, which your newsletter is all about, items that help the Big O, do you want to discuss some of your new products, or what you mentioned in your newsletter?
Well, I'm really excited because, as y'all know, 50 Shades of Grey has been huge right now. And so Slumber Parties has actually come out with two separate packages to sort of help recreate your favorite scenes in the book. I mean, they've been so huge that people are calling us and going into, you know, shops that they would normally not go into and say, I need something. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but the book says I need something and I need it. And so everybody's sort of exploring a little bit more. So we have two new packages. One's called The Grey Adventure, and one is called The Grey Experience. Both of them include the famous grey tie, which is super sexy. And then one is a little more mild. It's got the masquerade mask, the tie, and like a faux leather flogger. And then the other one has an actual eye mask, like a satin eye mask, the gray tie, and then it's got some feathered nipple clamps. So I'm really excited about those. We haven't had nipple clamps in a long time.
Wow. I know, both packages look amazing. And
yeah,
exciting.
I'm very excited. I'm
no
very
no
excited.
Fake orgasms if you get those two packages.
Right? No more faking. No more faking. That's all I'm going to say about this topic. No more. There's no need.
So let's just dive into it, because you're to fake or not to fake, and you recommend not to fake.
Not to fake. Not to fake. And the reason I say that is because, you know, okay, we've all been there. We're tired. Something's going on. Maybe, you know, you were listing off some really good reasons that actually make a ton of sense. But, you know, let's say that you're taking medication, and women don't seem to understand this, but medication, if it can dry out your mouth or anywhere up on your face, if it dries out anything on your body, it can dry out your vaginal lubrication. So if you're not using a lubricant and you're not thinking about that and you're taking medication that's drying you out, you know, yeah, sex is not going to be as comfortable. So now we've all kind of been there where it's like, okay, let's just hurry up and finish. And, you know, you were reading your statistics, and I've done some research, and, you know, I've seen up to 80% of women fake orgasms.
Wow.
Now, that's not
I've seen that, too, and 25% men.
Yeah.
And I think that's a high number of men.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, a lot of women are like, how can they even fake it? Well, I mean,
just
how
like
can a woman fake it and think that they can tell?
Cousin Linda and I was trying to figure that out.
Well, and I think it's because, I mean, one, obviously, they do the same things that we do. They make the sounds. They make the body movements. You know, I actually had a very good friend of mine joking with me. I was talking to her about the topic, and she said, oh, it's so easy. He doesn't even realize. I just do a couple of Kegels, make an extra noise, and he thinks that I'm finished.
Oh, my God.
I said, oh, okay. So, you know, they don't necessarily know the difference between us doing our own Kegel exercises versus an involuntary spasm, you know, from having an orgasm. So I figure it can probably be about the same for men because, you know, they don't always ejaculate every time. So,
true.
Yes, it might be one of those, did you finish? And you ask, but they say, yeah, I just didn't ejaculate. And, you know, who are you to argue? You know,
exactly.
You're going to argue with them about whether they did or didn't. So, but I really firmly believe that, especially if you're faking orgasms on a regular basis, you know, like I said, every now and then, what have you, people do it. It's no big deal. As long as it's not becoming the basis of your sexual relationship, that you're faking orgasm every time, because if you're doing that, you're not being satisfied. Plain and simple. You know, sex may feel good and you may be enjoying yourself, but if you're having to fake everything, it's just not doing everything for you that it could.
So you're really shortchanging yourself.
You really are. You really are. And you're shortchanging your partner as well.
Exactly.
So, you know, I don't really think it's fair. I mean, if you reverse the roles, and, you know, even though it's less likely for men to fake an orgasm, I mean, how would you feel if your partner told you finally, after however many years, that they've been faking it the entire time? I mean, how would that make you feel?
That would be wow. But that's one good thing that I've had two unsuccessful marriages and good romances, but one thing that I feel that I have a good track record is in my lovemaking skills, and I would be hurt.
Yes.
You know,
it would be very painful.
Even the two guys I was successfully married to, they'll tell you I was pretty good in that department. But, you know, I would be devastated and hurt if I found out someone faked it with me.
Yes, it would be painful. And so why do women think that it's fair to do that to their male counterparts? You know, I mean, it's just, I understand why they feel the need to do that every now and then, but, I mean, if that's a constant in your relationship, it's not fair to either of you. So you kind of have to think about it like that, because at the same time, if you're not orgasming during intercourse, there's nothing wrong with that, but you need to be sure that you're being satisfied as much as possible. So, you know, I've told you before on one of the other shows that about 70% of women need external stimulation in order to orgasm during intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
They need clitoral stimulation or something else going on. That about 70% of women do not orgasm by vaginal penetration alone. Okay, so that's a mm-hmm. huge amount of women. And I'm sure that's part of where faking orgasms comes into play because, you know, probably the 70% of women think that there's something wrong with them, and there's not. It's just a matter of needing additional, you know, stimulation. So even if you're not orgasming during sex, you need to be getting fulfilled one way or another. So that you're not having any resentment towards your partner. You know, I hear it all the time. He gets off every single time, and I never get off.
You always get his, but you never get yours.
Yes. And, you know how I am about that. My first question to them is, well, have you told them? What have you done? I think some of my clients get very frustrated with me because I turn it around on them. But I'm just, you know, in the day and age that it is, you know, if this was back in the 20s or 40s or what have you, where it was weird to talk about or possibly even looked at as wrong to have some kind of, you know, pleasure from all of that, then, you know, it would be different, but it's not. You know, in this day and age, people want you to talk about it. People want to hear your experiences, and people want to please each other. So why cut that short?
Good point. So, like always, Belinda is a proponent in being vocal, keeping those communication lines of communication open, and, you know, being yourself, not being somebody else, but being open with your partner, your lover, your mate, your spouse, in regards to your wants and needs also, and seeking, asking, because I've noticed also you always say ask them, ask your partners, what your partner, I mean, what, well, some of my listeners are freaks out there, so, but ask your partner or your partners, you know, what, but like I said before, we are proponents of monogamous relationships and safe sex, but, you know, regardless of the lifestyle that listeners live, be open and ask your lovers and your spouses and mates or what they want and what they desire and what level they would like to go on, and ask them about orgasms. And
yeah.
And also tell them what, Belinda, be sure to tell them what gets you off and makes you hot too, right? So you can reach orgasm.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and the thing is, you know, if you're looking at statistics, okay, 70% of women need external stimulation. Now, I have a lot of clients, and it'll be a whole room full, and they're like, no. I orgasm every time that I have sex, and I'm like, no, that's fantastic for you. I'm certainly not going to be like, uh-uh. No, girl, I know you're not. Okay, you know, I'm not saying that you're not, but is it because that you have to get in a certain position? You know, I have plenty of clients that say, oh, yeah, sex is great, and then when I'm ready to finish, we switch to this. Okay, that's very, very, very common. And the likelihood of having that extra, you know, that extra stimulation that they need, whether it be clitoral or G-spot or, you know, even just deeper penetration, whatever, you know, that's very likely as to what's happening, you know. So, one, women are switching up positions and thinking that they don't need that extra stimulation, which is fine. You know, I'm not going to argue with people. If you're getting your jollies, kudos. But when you start looking at...
It's new to me, like I told you before, we had to talk about this on another show. I am a multiple orgasmic person. So I'm
right.
listening to all
right.
this because this is foreign to me personally. I know about faking orgasms, but I am one that's easy to orgasm and have multiple. So I'm like really listening to this because this amazes me.
Yeah, and huge kudos to you.
Because when I hear women talk about they've never orgasmed, meaning they have lived a life of faking orgasm, I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's just crazy talk. It's just crazy talk. Because here's the deal. If you can orgasm on your own, which is why I'm so big on masturbation, learn your body, know what understand yourself, know what gets you off, know your buttons to push. Because if you can orgasm by yourself, you can orgasm with a partner. It's just a matter of finding the right, you know, the right rhythms, the right spots, the, you know, the best position for it. You know, there's a whole lot that can go into it because obviously you're adding another person who's not inside your head. You know, if you were cloning yourself and having sex with yourself, you know, that would be different, but you're not. You're having sex with somebody who is not in your head, which is why you have to vocalize.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I posted and tweeted an article from Ask Men and another colleague, Psychology Today. But I'm trying to think of this article I've posted. It's on my Facebook page and tweeted, where a lot of women don't orgasm because don't want to get too emotionally involved. You know, they want to keep a distance. So I'm glad you mentioned that because that has something to do with being emotional.
You
have to get it. You're actually with somebody, someone that you supposedly care about if you're actually having sex with them.
Right. So, well, I mean, and sex is a very emotional thing for women.
Yeah. So talk about that because I was kind of surprised at that also.
Well, and like I said, sex and intimacy in general. So, you know, yes, there are some people who simply go out to have sex and, you know, meet new friends and whatever, and like I said, sex. That's all I'm going to say about that topic. But, you know, when women start getting into relationships, when there's hand-holding and cuddling and, you know, talking and you know, tell me your feelings and all this. All of that turns into intimacy, and it becomes an emotional thing for women.
Yeah.
So, you know, especially sex itself, you know, when you were younger and you were dating and you would finally get up to whoever you were dating, and all of a sudden you're like, I think I'm in love. And, you know, now you look back on your life and you're like, oh, gosh, you weren't in love with anybody. You were just young and having those over surges of emotion, because it's a very emotional thing. It's a different kind of connection. You know, it's a physical and emotional connection all combined into one.
Okay, so you are the intimacy advisor. So how can women allow that intimate diva out and become more intimate? Because even women in long loving relationships and marriages, are not just those dating, you know, have issues with intimacy, just letting
right.
go.
Honestly, that's the best advice, is to just say, let it go. Let it go. Take a deep breath. You know, don't dive into it all at once. Don't walk into the room and turn into a vixen. You know, you're going to freak yourself and your partner out. But,
exactly. Like, wait a second. Whoa.
Right? Who are you? But, you know, like, I carry lingerie to my parties. And one of the things that I tell my clients is go through the rack and find something that you would not normally wear.
Mm-hmm.
Find something that's a little bit out of the box for you. You know, if you always wear one style or one color or it's always lace or what have you, find something that's a different style, a different cut, a different, you know, color, anything that's going to put a little bit of a different spin on what you're wearing. Because lingerie really sets the mood for you.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, if you're wearing a sweet piece that's all lace and, you know, a baby doll cut and this and that, you know, you're more in for a night of romance and candles lit and, you know.
And poetry, love, sweet poetry.
Yes, yes. But, you know, if you walk in a black corset with red lace on it, you know, that's a completely different feel. That's
exactly.
a completely different feel. And it changes the way that you feel about yourself. It changes your own confidence. So, you know, if you can start stepping out of the box just a little bit, you know, your partner will start to notice. And once your partner notices and y'all start talking about those small changes, you know, that's when you can start working into other things. You know, I don't ever recommend that somebody come to my party who has never used a toy before and take home, you know, the four biggest, baddest toys and throw them at your partner and be like, all right, what are we doing with this?
Oh, my God, you're
you know,
making me
But I'm serious. You have to introduce things the right way. You know, it takes a little bit of time and finesse. You can't just, you know, chunk a vibrator at somebody and say, here, go at it. So I really think that, you know, one, just letting it go is probably some of the best advice, but to work things into, you know, those different levels and to get more used to being intimate again and things like that, because sometimes it's just a matter of getting it back. You know, a lot of couples start off a certain way, and then with time and jobs and, you know, families and friends and all that stuff, it gets boring, it gets dull, it turns into the same thing every night. And so a lot of couples, it's just a matter of getting back to what they started at.
Yeah, because I think a couple of your packages are called, like, date night, good for date night packages. Or do I not hear or see you use that word? Because dates are good for couples, not only new couples, but those that have been married a long time. I know. That's something that you recommend to freshen up, and then that helps people have a natural orgasms, right? I guess
Absolutely.
That goes back to our last conversation. Not role playing, but just going out on dates.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, intimacy is not just sex. And I've said that over and over and over again. It's pretty much everything that's involved. So, you know, do the things that originally got you excited about your partner. Go out on a date. Have a fun night. You know, if you have kids and that's one of the biggest things that's causing a hindrance in your relationship, take the kids to grandma's for the night. Go have a date night. You know, I mean, especially coming from me, a mom with two kids that are still young and this and that. They are time consuming. They are time consuming. And I love them, but they are with us 24/7. 24/7. Pretty much right now, if I want to have any kind of time with my husband, it's also with them. So, you know, it's a matter of finding a balance and being able to spend that kind of time on each other. So, you know, you can find that intimacy again. You can reconnect on that level. And then you don't feel the need to push an orgasm because you're willing to express yourself and talk and either work to a point where you can reach the orgasm or finally feel okay in your skin to not fake it and find other ways to be fulfilled. Whether it's extended foreplay before or after, you know, or using a toy in the bedroom so that you can orgasm more easily or whatever.
Simple acts of dating and simple acts of love or showing how much you like someone, that can get someone stirred up, you know, and warm on the inside, ready for that, you know, whatever, like you said, later on. So that's a good point. That's a way to allow yourself to get more intimate and more emotional. Those of you that want to get more intimate and emotional. Because that's one way to have more fulfilling sex, if you do a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very true, you know. If it's the same thing every time or if it's only one certain style, you know, that's the last thing you want. You don't want anybody to get bored. You know, it's not just about the women. It's not just about the men. You don't want anybody to get bored. And you certainly don't want them to feel bored with one another, not just their sex life. You know, because once things like that start going down, people start blaming that on the actual relationship, and they start carrying it into relationships. And I can't even tell you how often I see that. You know, well, he doesn't fulfill me in there, and then on top of that, he won't even help me with this.
But you know, I like your to that because you and I discussed this on the air and in private. How when you reach out in that form, then you'll be amazed at how it affects your other segments of your life.
Yes. Well, and I truly believe that. When you have a healthy sexual relationship with your partner, you know, and you are connecting on that intimate level and you are, you know, communicating, because communication is key to intimacy. You know, you really can't have it without, you know, one without the other doesn't really work. So when you have all of these components together, you know, you're having this healthy sexual relationship with communication and intimacy, and you've got these warm, fuzzy feelings towards each other again. And so, yeah, it's not so hard to get hubby to remember to take out the trash, or, you know, you're more willing to clean up or do dishes or whatever, you know, whatever the roles are in your family. I'm kind of a typical household. I'm stay-at-home mom. I take care of the house, and my husband works. But, you know, I mean, whatever your situation is, everybody's more willing and more likely to do their jobs without complaining, because it's an act of love for one another. You know, it's like, okay, I'll do the dishes before, you know, before hubby gets home so that he doesn't walk into a crazy house. Just out of love, because, you know, instead of, I have to do the dishes because otherwise he's going to come in and bark at me and blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, it really does. It changes the whole aspect of your relationship when you have a healthy sexual intimacy.
And then hubby might come in and say, hey, let's all just go out for dinner this evening.
Right.
You know,
but, you know, if you're having a healthy relationship and communicating, like, all of these things, you know, seem to fall into place more easily. Now, obviously, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. So there are some relationships where that just doesn't work. You know, one party is just absolutely.
You and I are on the same page. I'm glad you mentioned that because I know a lot of listeners are saying, Beth and Belinda, you guys are talking in la la land. Because you just don't understand. I've been so many times. I can hear you all, boyfriends and girlfriends out there. I can hear you saying, you all know I've been hurt so many times. I'm not opening up to, I don't care if it's my husband, I'm not allowing anybody to hurt me. And that's why we're talking about subtle ways that we all can just open up in certain areas. Okay, I just wanted to say that, Belinda, because you and I are on the same
well,
page.
But it is. It's important. It's important for people to know that when I say this, I realize that not all relationships are stable or at that point, or, you know, that one party is just not going to cooperate. You know, and I have a very good friend, and we've seen this firsthand with a friend of ours, and
mm-hmm.
her husband just wants to fight her at every step of the way. So, you know, and guys, don't take that the wrong way. I'm not always saying that it's the men. You know,
yeah.
I also know a girl who constantly wants to fight with her husband, even though he's so sweet to her. But, you know, it's just some relationships are just at weird points. But I really honestly believe that for the most part, if there's communication involved, pretty much anything can be salvaged. You know, so one way or another, communication is what's going to help you out in those departments, whether it be intimacy or, you know, just life in general. So, but like we were saying earlier, you know, if you're faking orgasms every time, or even in certain situations, you know, let's say that there is a position that you don't like that your sweetie is just so gung-ho about, and so you fake orgasms to make it go by faster because you don't want to be rude and say, I just really don't like it. Really not doing it for me. You know, you're honestly doing yourself a disservice. You know, because if you're thinking about why you don't like it, maybe it's too deep a penetration. Maybe it's just not hitting any pleasure points for you. Maybe it's just uncomfortable. You know, maybe your body's in some weird contorted way. Like, there's no reason to feel uncomfortable or to feel awkward when you're having intercourse with your spouse or boyfriend or